We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome once again to the program, which is famous all the way from Land's End to Land's End. Let me introduce the teams right away. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my left, Tim Brooke Taylor and William Rushton. They'll be playing a series of games which defy belief, and we're going to start right away with the first one, which is called Double Feature. This round arises from the parlous state of the international film industry. For economic reasons, new films have to be remakes of pairs of old films, and I want to hear the resulting titles from the team, starting with Willie Rushton.
I thought a happy marriage of Tom Thumb and She Stoops to Conquer. There's somebody up there likes me.
You thought that, William.
I thought that, nobody else did.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Totally well, you live there.
We must get taller audiences.
Yes, I thought that was very good.
Very good, excellent.
Okay.
Oh, I see what you mean, yes. Ah. Yes, I was thinking of making a movie for the domestic market, Frankenstein with Vera Cruz, Dracula Has Risen from the Grave and Journey's End, and you'll get Frank and Vera from Gravesend.
Too clean.
Tim Brooke Taylor.
Have you met Frank and Vera? Mine is more of a follow-up, immediate follow-up, to Seagulls Over Sorrento, which is entitled Oh God, It's All Over My Sleeve. This, in fact, stars Al Jolson, Walter Pigeon, and Sean Canary. Perhaps.
Barry Cryer.
What a shock. I envisaged composing a film that has the elements of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Silk Stockings, Robert E. Lee, and Billy the Kid. And I would call the new film Who's a Silly Billy.
Very good.
But on the other hand, I might... No, sorry.
Let's hurry along to the point of the game where I introduce a round that's played at the end of the programme, and from now on, the teams will be racking their brains, which will explain a lot that's to come, to think of names of people arriving at the Economist's Ball. The Economist's Ball. You still there? Yeah, the Economist's Ball. Okay, we come to a round called Kim's Game, which is based on the well-known parlour game. A number of items will pass along a conveyor belt in front of each team, and they have to remember as many of them as possible. The conveyor belt goes for 10 seconds, and there are 30 seconds for recollection, and the recollectors can take home everything that they remember.
Oh, gosh.
So Colin Sell at the piano, who didn't get into that last game, though I did, is going to accompany the music of the conveyor belt as we start it now. Right. Graham and Barry, you've had time now to study those. If you come out, if you come out front now, keep thinking. Right. You have 10 seconds now to tell us how many... Or no, you don't. You have 30 seconds to tell us how many objects you remember. Starting now.
By the hairs on your wrist, Humph, a life-size jelly model of Cyril Smith.
Yes. There were two of those.
Two of those, yes.
They
took up half the conveyor belts, as I remember.
Yes. There was a cake.
There was a cake. There was a do-it-yourself royal tournament.
Yes.
Wasn't that right?
Yes. There was the inflatable...
Oh, no, we don't mention that. I don't want to... I would like to take that home, actually, because I could never explain it. But Nicholas Parsons' doll.
Yes. in the
wind it up and it
yes, all over
does,
the floor,
doesn't it? Yes. And,
in the doing very well.
Oh, the conveyor belt. There was a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you see a rubber tuning fork?
Yes, a rubber tuning fork.
Rubber tuning fork. There was.
No, there wasn't one there.
Oh.
Well, hooter, your 10 or 30 seconds is up, whichever is the longer. And you scored quite a remarkable score, and you can take all those things home with you right after the show, with the exception of the jelly model of Cyril Smith, which will be delivered to you by airship.
Did we do well?
It's time now for Tim and Willie for your conveyor belt, so are you all set?
Yeah.
Right. Starting now. Right. There you are. Now, Tim and Willie, what do you recollect?
That was a 27-foot juddering blur with a good deal of interference, which I would like to take home.
There was an empty fig I saw. There was a lavatory brush.
Or it
might have, the lavatory brush might have been Rolf Harris lying down. I couldn't quite see from here.
An elephant stuffed with umbrellas and only three legs.
Oh, yeah, there were 20 second-hand Max Bygraves LPs only used once.
And
yes, one of those.
Yes.
And a
good
duck.
That's all.
Thank you very much.
You've had your 25 seconds. And you've
and
done
a good deal
well.
Of fun.
We're going on now to the ad-lib poem. The team's going to make up a poem. Each member must keep going until I press this buzzer. Then a member of the opposite team must take over. This goes on until we reach the natural conclusion or until the studio is cleared. I give you the first line. Graham, I'm going to ask you to take up...
A drama.
I'm going to ask you to take up the opening line, and here it is. It was the best I ever saw from Bristol to Benghazi.
It was the best I ever saw from Bristol to Benghazi. You may not find that easy to believe. Maybe you're just lazy.
Not arsy, you know. It's not arsy.
Now, lazy is a funny word. Pronunciation's apt.
Tim.
The judge said, I quite agree. And his gavel, he then rapped. The judge... We have not mentioned before this moment, here in time. The judge, his name was Justice Once. He was a friend of mine. When I say friend, he wasn't close. More an acquaintance he.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd only met him once. He once came round for tea. He ate boiled eggs and ham and stew and rhubarb tart as well. Ole.
He said, now have a cup of tea. And your story, please do tell. By the way, would you like tea in my chambers? He said as he was standing up. I said, if it's all the same to you, I'd rather have a cup. And so the bags they were brought out, and jolly girls were they.
And... One whose name was Sybil, and the other, Arthur May. A motley pair to find around the environs of Lincoln's Inn. But then, if you wanted to drive with a wig on your head, you can't always win. Next day, the judge and I, we were up before the beak.
Which, let us say, be honest, is better than being up the creek. The magistrate... with aspect stern, rebuked us. And he said, pray, will you, sir, remove that hat or wig from off your head? The judge said, this
sir, is a symbol of my place in law. It's boring, but it's accurate. My place in law. In law, I've got to try in law now. And come to that, you've won yourself. What explanation's yours? The magistrate called upon Humph to press the buzzer then.
I can take a hint. Right, we go on to the next round now, which I'm not sure whether we ought to leave this one out, actually. This is the one that's called Straight Face, and in this round the aim is not to amuse the audience. Each panellist in turn says a word, and the first one who gets a laugh from the studio audience is disqualified. The remaining three continue the game in rotation until only one survives, and to that one we award the prize for this week. So absolute quiet in the studio, please. And we're going to start this one with Tim Brooke-Taylor. Quiet, please.
New Ballsby. Cottage.
Plinth.
Trifle. Rumble. Rhubarb.
Sorry, Tim. Sorry about that, Tim. You're disqualified. That's. Can we take it up again with Barry?
Gusset.
Right, that leaves two of them. Willie Rushton and Graham Garden. Willie.
Bicycle. Clip.
Please, a lot of coughing in the audience, don't you?
Abraham's bosom.
That's two.
I know, but Tim's
both, both Willie Rushton and Graham Garden are disqualified. So, Tim Brooke-Taylor wins that round. We have the round now, which is called Tag Wrestling. This one's absolutely riveting, as you probably remember. This one, I give each team the payoff of a story, different payoff for each team, and I then start one team off telling a story to work towards their punchline. And whenever I feel like it, I shall press the buzzer, and a member from the opposite team will have to take up their story, making for their punchline. And we'll have, first of all, Graham and Barry, your punchline. If you'd better write it down, because it's a bit complex. All right? I'm a ferret handler, said Craddock, and this stethoscope is booby-trapped. And Tim and Willie, do you want your punchline? You'd better have it, I think. With a final tug at his cucumber, Mildred put the bicycle pump back in the wine cooler. Right, now, Barry Cryer, have you started your story working towards your punchline?
George Craddock woke up at 7:30, as was his wont, and indeed his will, and leapt out of bed and went straight down to see his ferrets. These were his passion. Meeting in the yard Dr. Grimsdyke,
who fortunately reminded him that today was the start of the Tour de France. Look after my ferrets, he said, with a firm hand. He didn't say it with a firm hand, he meant look after the ferrets with a firm hand. He stood it through thin lips. And leaping onto his bicycle, he set off for the Channel. Remembering to put the bicycle pump on the bicycle so that it came in later. Once across the channel, he fell in with his partner.
Drying himself off. Are we talking now about Craddock or Grimsdyke?
Craddock.
Craddock
is the hero.
Yes, who left his ferrets behind. No fool he. Craddock threw the bicycle pump far out into the waves. Where it sank slowly to the bottom, never to be seen again. Leaping onto an imminent hovercraft, he made his way home to the ferret farm. There he found Dr. Grimsdyke. Grimsdyke. Not that funny, Barry. There he found Dr. Grimsdyke studiously looking after the ferrets. In fact, only one was still alive.
Dr. Grimsdyke, he said, depressed I am, condition, in.
This isn't a poem, is it? No. Tell me one of your old yarns about when you used to ride bicycles. Oh, in the olden days, said Dr. Grimsdyke. Helpfully. That would be when I went cycling with Mildred. Yes, that's the one, he said. Well, I cycled over the channel, he said. And over the channel we went with this boat, and it broke down. And out came a tug.
This story was self-evidently so boring that Craddock thought, I will kill this man if he doesn't stop this story. So he wrenched the stethoscope from Dr. Grimsdyke's neck. Have a care, he said. I'm a ferret handler, said Craddock. And this...
Killed him and set off for the channel again. Dover Harbour was empty. There was, fortunately, a final tug leaving, called the Attis Cucumber Mildred. Actually, it was the ATS Cucumber Mildred, because she'd been in the Atts and had a funny way about her, which I wouldn't advise you to take on any, even a 14-day tour. So, with the final tug, the Attis Cucumber Mildred, he set off across the channel. Falling in, fortunately, with a man who was by profession a wine cooler. Who would walk around, heavy red biddy, dropping ice into it, or... I mean, those who know their wine cooling will know. It's a pretty technical experience, but you can cool wine quite quickly if you know your way and your onions. Onions don't come into it. They came in.
Can I buzz for repetition? No, it's the wrong program, sorry.
Onions not coming into it, he took a flagon of cool wine and set off back for England. There, at the docks at Boulogne, he saw a boat...
Not
the HMS Tandler, said Craddock, and this stethoscope is booby-trapped. Oh, what kind of boat are you, he said. I'm a ferry, Tandler, said Craddock, and this...
Wow.
Yeah, we'll let him have that. Yeah. Well done, Tim and Willie, and we go on to the next round, which is called Censored Songs. I'm going to ask each of you to sing a song. I don't know why. And during the song, it'll be your task to censor with your buzzers any word that you think will offend our audience here. And I may tell you that you have a pretty wide range. Graham, you're going to start this one. I'd like you to censor your version of I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts.
I've got a lovely bunch of... Here they are, standing in a row. A big one, small one, some mystery. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist. And
oh,
the
no. No. No.
Self-praise is no recommendation.
It's a kindness, I think.
In the long run. To be fair, it was a long run.
Tim, will you bring a little innocence back into the program with your song, which is When the Children Are Asleep?
When the children are asleep, we'll sit and... The things that every other dad and mother... The children are asleep and lights are low. If I still you the way I you today, you'll pardon my saying,
I told you so.
Barry Cryer, it's impossible for you to get into any trouble with this next one. A nice cup of tea.
I like a nice in the morning to start the day, you see. And in 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice. I like a nice with my dinner and a nice with my tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea.
Willie Rushton, with a certain amount of dread, I ask you to do your own censored version of Thank Heaven for Little Girls.
What am I singing? Each time I see a little girl of 5 or 6 or 7,
oh,
I can't resist a joyous urge to... and say, Thank Heaven. For little, get bigger every day. Thank Heaven for little, they grow up in the most delightful way. Those little, so helpless and appealing, one day will flash and send you crashing through the ceiling. Thank Heaven for little. Thank Heaven for them all, no matter where, no matter who. Without them, what would little boys
do? Thank you. This is the point of the program where I go home now so that I can miss your announcements to the arrivals at the, what did I say, the Economist's Ball. Who's going to start with the late arrivals at the Economist's Ball?
From Poland... Officer and Mrs. Krupski and their son, Ben Krupski.
Welcome.
Oh. All right.
Will you please give a slightly more risible welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Tory Wage Freeze and their daughter, Mandy Tory Wage Freeze.
Guests of Mr. Littleton, and welcome on the strength of it, Mr. and Mrs. Ray Nance and their stereophonic son, Hi-Fi Nance.
Will you welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Needle Street and their son, Fred Needle Street, and, of course, his wife, the old lady of Fred Needle Street.
And their funny daughter, Bianca England.
Mr. and Mrs. Ting Pound and their daughter Flo Ting Pound.
And also a close cousin of hers, Mr. and Mrs. Pound and their pornographic filmmaker son, known as the Sin King Pound.
Other relatives are the other bad day for their Pounds and their son, another bad day for their Pounds.
Mr. and Mrs. Exchange. And their strange son, Fairy Exchange, and his imp, Orts.
Why not? Welcome, please, if only for my bank manager. Mr. and Mrs., we going to do about your overdraft? And their son, what are we going to do about your overdraft?
Herr and Frau, account in a Swiss bank. And their son is known as the Gnome Bert account in Swiss bank.
Mr. and Mrs. Cost of Living's gone up again. And their lovable TV personality son, Bilodi Cost of Living's gone up again.
Lovable?
I withdraw my entry.
Please really welcome Mr. and Mrs. Combs Policy and their unemployable son, the unworkable Ian Combs.
Excellent.
And will you welcome also, please? Loosen your stays to welcome Mr. and Mrs. Dunn putting my money into shares. And their son, what F.I. Dunn putting my money into shares.
Mr. and Mrs. Tidd Securities and their daughter, Jewel Tidd Securities.
Like it.
Somebody knows her.
Will you please, on a hopeful note, welcome Mr. and Mrs. Million Unemployed by Christmas and their son, Arthur Million Unemployed by Christmas.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this point...
A pause...
hump you cannot have seen. Go on, William.
Oh, sorry. Mr. and Mrs. Sparwell and their son with the unfortunate speech defect, Wedge Sparwell.
This is
Roy Jenkins speaking.
Mr. and Mrs. Dingscale and their crafty, extremely unpopular son, Sly Dingscale.
Very welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Inbank and their daughter from Dublin, Irish Lynn Inbank.
We also welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Fund and their cosmopolitan son already, the international Manny Terry Fund. No, you weren't, I think.
A Greek party who have just visited a recording of the Goodies, will you welcome, all the way from Athens, Mr. and Mrs. Motion Study and their son, Timon Motion Study.
As well known rag bag, stop, go, stop, go, stop, go, and son.
Seems a good point, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. and Mrs. Monius and their son, Percy Monius. We needed an anticlimax at the time.
And from America, Tex Fiddle.
The Mrs. The Wall microphone. And their son, Baxter the Wall.
And there are the R deficits, with their daughter, Doll R deficits.
Would you welcome, please, Mr. Peter Andrew Y.E., who's better known perhaps as P.A. Y.E.
Well, they always say that you should finish a show leaving them wanting more. So this is the point where I tell you the score. Oh, God, the score. Can you come back next week, teams?
No. Yeah. Because
I'll tell you then. You're all doing well. And we shall be back with you next week. That's all for this week. So until then, goodbye now.
Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and William Rushton were being given Silly Things to Do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The program was produced by Simon Brett.